This episode of Infants on Thrones is brought to you by ModestLivingAllowances.com. Do you think you understand words and know what a modest living allowance is? You may think you do, but you don't. Money is complicated, but it's never too late to learn. Simply visit our site, guess an annual income number that you think is modest, and let our system tell you how far off you are. Here's an example. Did you know that you can receive more money per year than more than 80% of the population and still refer to it as a modest living allowance? How about the fact that your amount of allowance money can be more than double the median income in the United States and still be considered modest? It's so unbelievable, it's true. Visit ModestLivingAllowances.com to learn more about our proprietary algorithm, which includes industry-leading best practices on mental gymnastics combined with award-winning lack of transparency. Remember, you too can learn the true meaning of the phrase modest living allowance by visiting our site, ModestLivingAllowances.com.
This is Infants on Thrones, the philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the Quorum.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Bob Caswell, and today I'm joined by, well, myself. I know, it's a mini-sode monologue episode, so how good can it really be? Well, download numbers tell us that these types of episodes typically aren't as good, but, you know, that's not the only metric, I suppose. Just remember the power of low expectations, and if that doesn't work, just imagine how good the next panel discussion will be because you listen to this first. Eh? Anyway, here's the deal. Most of the infants are off this weekend on a mini retreat thingy in Mexico. Well, I couldn't make it, but some pseudo-Mormonesque almost news happened this week, and it kind of frustrated me. So I thought I'd talk about this example of the most superlatively annoying thing Mormons sometimes do. At least a small percentage of Mormons tend to do this. I'm trying to be nice here, and if I'm going to make up a number, I'll be conservative. But still, it's out there. Today, I want to talk about what I call hypocrisy disguised as legitimacy. So what happened? Well, some Mormon dude wrote a blog and called it John DeLynn and the Weaponization of Scientific Research. Wow, even the title here. You know we're in for a treat when someone puts in their blog title the fact that they want to talk about how scientific research can be a weapon. Okay, quick side note. I want to say that I don't even feel like saying this dude's name or website. I mean, I know that's kind of annoying because he put himself out there and it's really not hard to find. I just gave you the title of the blog. But I don't really want to give him any sort of traffic bump. And trust me, listening to this podcast will take less time than reading Mormon Dude's blog post that is over 16,000 words long. WordCounter.net also tells me that the speaking time for this verbal diarrhea of an essay is 1 hour and 34 minutes, and the reading time is 1 hour and 1 minute. The smackdown time? Well, give me like 20 minutes, okay? So let's set the stage with a brief recap of John DeLynn's research study and findings. In fact, let's let him do it. Listen in to part of his TEDx talk, and, you know, feel free to go listen to the whole thing for better context, but I think this 3 minutes covers the main points that Mormon Dude is upset about.
I became so impassioned about these issues that eventually I left my profession, having worked for companies like Microsoft and MIT, and went back to school to become a psychologist. And while I was studying this degree, I had the great privilege of teaming with two amazing allies, Dr. Renee Gallagher, a professor here at Utah State University, specializing in LGBT and religious identity conflict, and Dr. Bill Bradshaw, a beautiful man who's a biology professor at Brigham Young University. Together with a graduate student named Katie Crowell, we surveyed over 1,600 LGBT Mormons. And here's a very brief summary of what we discovered. We discovered that the average age in which these participants knew that they were LGBT was 14 years old, long before they or most of us ever had our first romantic experience. We learned that 66% of these individuals attempted to change their sexual orientation. We discovered that psychotherapy was not the most common method that they used to try and change their sexual orientation, but instead it was religious and individual methods such as personal prayer, fasting, scripture study, and speaking with church individuals, church leaders like bishops. Perhaps most amazing of all, our data revealed that 0% of our sample reported being able to eliminate their same-sex attraction. 0%. Conversely, Over 80% of our sample characterized their attempts at sexual orientation change as either ineffective or extremely damaging. Next, we inquired regarding the two most common paths chosen by religious LGBT Mormons, which are either entering into a mixed orientation marriage or a heterosexual marriage, or living a life of celibacy. What we discovered was that the divorce rate for mixed orientation marriages approached 75% with extremely low quality of life ratings. Perhaps even more alarming, we discovered that those who chose celibacy reported quality of life scores lower than the scores of people who have a debilitating illness called lupus, which symptoms include difficulty breathing, chest pains, bleeding, infections, skin rashes, nose sores, hair loss, and seizures. And yet being LGBT is not an illness. So if they didn't choose it, if it doesn't go away, if attempting to change it causes harm, if mixed orientation marriages have high failure rates, and if celibacy has incredibly low quality of life ratings, of course they would turn to suicide as what they feel is their only option. But here's the exciting news. Our data also reveal that participants who entered into legal same-sex marriages had quality of life scores higher than the healthy average for the entire population, heterosexuals included. For this sample, it appears as though legal same-sex marriage is an essential component of obtaining the highest possible quality of life.
So why does Mormon Dude think John DeLynn is using scientific research as a weapon? Well, Mormon Dude sets the stage by explaining that there's a vast imbalance in political diversity within psychology right now, and that what he really wanted to do was publish his critique of DeLynn's work in an academic journal, because DeLynn's work itself has been published in peer-reviewed journals. But since Mormon Dude didn't think that could happen through no fault of his own, the next best thing was to publish a ginormous blog disguised as a legitimate critique of John DeLynn's work. This may sound pedantic or unimportant, but I bring it up because Mormon Dude desperately wants to be taken seriously. He writes and writes, and he uses footnotes and big words and passive voice and, you know, all that good stuff. And he begins by telling us that he can't be published because the system is rigged. But please pretend like what I have to say is as if it's been published. I put PhD after my name at every chance, and I end my blog post with a profile of myself stating that I am a peer-reviewed author generally. Okay, Mormon Dude, I've got it. You think you're super important, and you want us to, too. So, we haven't even gotten to his point. Believe me, it takes a while. And we've already got a premise here where someone wants the same legitimacy as others without, you know, earning it. But now, what do you really want to say, Mormon Dude? Let's go through your main points. So, number one, Mormon Dude thinks DeLynn's research about LGBT Mormons has become authoritative because, allegedly, it hasn't been publicly examined, and because too many people think it's the best data out there on the subject. So Mormon Dude is here to publicly examine it. He gives us ambiguous lessons about sample sizes and how hard research is. He dances around with lots of words, which are essentially platitudes like, bigger isn't always better, and conclusions are different depending on what you measure. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. What's funny is that there's like at least five paragraphs here, which basically come down to the idea that all research is fucked because of complexity. Wow, Mormon Dude, way to sell me on the need for this particular public examination. Is climate change next? You could just copy and paste these same paragraphs and boom, science examined, authoritative status gone. Point number two, Mormon Dude thinks DeLynn has confirmation bias because his research team has ideological uniformity. Ooh, big words. So, Mormon Dude here feels qualified to say something because his ideology is clearly different, and that just by default, you know, means that we should listen to him. Even if, well, ironically, Mormon Dude has an even more extreme case of ideological uniformity, being a pseudo-research team of one with a very clear position. Now let's look at point number three. Mormon Dude thinks that DeLynn's research pressures gay Mormons to step away from their faith and personal commitments. So, Mormon Dude is here to share a couple stories of how the church is besties with gays because they have a website for gays now, and in general, the Mormon Church doesn't have a bigotry problem, at least not a problem worth mentioning in these over 16,000 words on this topic. I mean, Mormon Dude wants you to know that the Mormon Church's relationship with gays is in tip-top shape, which makes DeLynn's research findings all the more perplexing. Point number four. Mormon Dude is here to tell you that DeLynn's findings are compromised because data never speaks for itself. Wait for it. Without a human interpreter. Ooh. So Mormon Dude's solution here is to loosely claim that there are other plausible interpretations of the data, and Mormon Dude also really wants to talk about what he calls amplified overstatements. He points out examples of article headlines reporting on DeLynn's research, and Mormon Dude is here to tell you how misleading they are because they don't capture nuances or have balanced positioning. You know, like this blog's non-sensational nuanced headline, John DeLynn and the Weaponization of Scientific Research. No amplified overstatement there, right? So there you have it. The lack of self-awareness here is astronomical. Mormon Dude's persona is rivaled only by characters created by The Onion. And so far, I guess I'm just having fun with this, but that's mostly because sometimes humor is good therapy. I mean, it's funny to me seeing Mormon Dude having no sense of irony about his own bias. You can't really invalidate someone else's point on the basis of their bias when you're using your own bias to get there. But silly circular logic aside, in reality, Mormon Dude makes me angry. And if you can indulge me a bit longer, I want to explain why. You see, Mormon Dude sounds convincing in the same way propaganda sounds convincing. But lots of people fall for it and reinforce what they want to believe is true because something long and official looking has an explanation that aligns with their belief system. To me, this is damaging in and of itself, but where it becomes really perverse and twisted is when Mormon Dude tries to take it to the next level and do kind of a 180. He has a bolded section of his essay entitled Real Life Consequences, in which he claims the following as an outcome of John DeLynn's research. Quote, "How many have been prompted to feel a growing despair about a life, a love, or a faith that they might otherwise loved and nourished?" Close quote. See how I did the general authority thing there? Let's say that one more time and then let's deconstruct that. How many have been prompted to feel a growing despair about a life, a love, or a faith that they might otherwise loved and nourished? First of all, he's asking a hypothetical, rhetorical question in a supposed critique on a scientific approach. I mean, wow, way to exempt yourself from your own supposed higher rules of intellectual rigor, Mormon Dude. He also had this to say, quote, "I myself am personally convinced that the consequences of DeLynn's voice have often been profound in the reverse direction." To me, this is disturbing. Mormon Dude starts by trying to sound sciencey, but doesn't really have much to offer other than all of this verbal diarrhea, so then he just can't help himself, hoping no one will notice when he switches gears and breaks his own rules. So let me get this straight, Mormon Dude. DeLynn's research is the cause for hopeless gay Mormons, but yet there's no need to mention the Mormon fucking church as part of the equation. Now, I'm not going to say Mormon Dude is a fucking asshole, but I will say that that's exactly the type of behavior of a fucking asshole. Hide behind your institution's hurtful and damaging homophobia and bigotry by pointing to the person who pointed it out and saying, he's the one causing the problem. Is that what it's really come to? How low can you go, really? So, Mormon Dude, pray tell, or can I call you Mr. Science PhD man mingled with personal conviction? Where is your evidence? Where is your research? What you have is a fucking blog with fancy footnotes and a reference to your peer-reviewed status. To me, this is Mormon hypocrisy disguised as legitimacy. You want to be taken seriously. You want to play with science tools at the big boy table, but only selectively. You get to make unfounded big claims for your position. You get to ask rhetorical questions. You get to assign blame. You get to lecture the world on how to do scientific research. And it's all fun and great. But you don't have to follow your own rules, and you don't even have to have any research in the first place. I think this needs to stop. It's not really funny anymore with topics like this. So listen up, Mormons. If asked why God listens to your prayers when you're looking for your lost keys, while ignoring the prayers of child prostitutes, just stick with God works in mysterious ways, or even better, you can always go with the answer, I don't know. Same goes for when you're asked about gays in the Mormon church. It's okay if you're uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. But please, for the love of your God, don't respond with an essay about scientific research. You're just making it worse for the good-hearted believers out there. Mormon hypocrisy disguised as legitimacy is not the answer. Maybe try self-awareness, love, and empathy. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Everybody's gonna love today, gonna love today, gonna love today. Everybody's gonna love today, gonna love today. Any way you want to, any way you've got to. Love, love me, love, love me, love, love. I've been crying for so long, fighting tears just to carry on. But now it's gone away.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.